schools all over Greater Cincinnati and across the U.S. are using technology to keep parents informed about their children's schoolwork. These grade tracking apps have been around for many years, but gained popularity during the COVID-19 pandemic, when so many students were attending school from home. But can these apps go too far? This is Cincinnati Edition on WBXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to talk about the benefits and drawbacks of grade tracking apps are Vox senior correspondent Anna North. Welcome, Anna.
Thanks so much for having me.
And Cincinnati Country Day School head of upper school, Jen Weinheimer. Thanks for being here, Jen.
Glad to join you, Lucy.
Anna, explain what a grade tracking app is and how schools generally use them.
Yeah, so there are a few different kinds of these apps, but they're very popular at districts all around the country today. And typically they function as sort of open grade books. So the teachers and educators can enter the grades into the app, and then students and parents can see them, often in close to real time. So whereas millennials might remember having to wait until parent-teacher conferences to find out about their grades, now often both parents and kids can find out as soon as an assignment is graded.
And Jen, what grade tracking apps do you use at Cincinnati Country Day School?
We're not using an app right now, but we have a learning management system that has the capability to allow us to show grades to students and by extension to their parents, should the parent and student decide together that the parents will see them.
Oh, okay. So the students have some agency in that whole thing.
Yes, and that's something that we've done by design.
Okay. Jen, how are teachers and students and parents, when they're included, using that system?
So for the most part, we just piloted this last year in the fourth quarter, and our students are able to see all of their assignments when they're assigned, and they're able to see the grades once they've been evaluated and assessed. They're also able to see, most importantly, perhaps, when an assignment has not been submitted, and so they're able to then follow up with their teachers and check into sort of whether they thought they turned something in and it hasn't been processed yet or whatever's going on there. But it's been a good process for students to, as you said, kind of enact their agency and advocate for themselves, which is a skill we're actively trying to build with high school students.
Hmm. We're talking about grade tracking apps and systems, the benefits and the drawbacks. Do you have questions or comments about these systems? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. So, Anna, are there different reasons that schools use these apps or these systems like Cincinnati Country Day has?
Yeah, I mean, these are part of a sort of wider universe of technological tools that schools are using today. So there are these sort of open gradebook apps or systems that do what Jen is describing. And there's also a whole variety of other apps, including ones that allow schools and families to track kids' behavior and simpler sort of messaging tools that just allow, for example, parents to message a teacher or parents to track extracurriculars like band or sports. So increasingly, there's, you know, this pretty complex technological relationship between a family and a school.
And what are some of the benefits of that? I mean, how helpful can it be for parents to be able to get information about their children's grades in almost real time, assuming that parents are part of that? I'll start with you, Anna, to get your thoughts.
Sure. There are a lot of upsides, and parents I talked to said that in general, they found the apps really helpful. So probably the biggest upside is, you know, anybody who's in their 30s or 40s today probably remembers a time when they were really shocked by how poorly they might have been doing in a class, and they maybe weren't really aware, and their parents weren't really aware, and maybe it was too late to bring that grade up. But now both parents and students can kind of track a child's grade much more closely. And if something is starting to dip or there's a problem, then they can work with the school and the educators to fix it.
What do you hear from students and their parents when their parents are included, Jen? What do they see as the benefits of the system you have?
I think it's really helpful in supporting a lot of the conversation between students and their parents about how they think they're doing, why they believe that they're, you know, struggling in a class, and then being able to kind of check in and make sure that things are improving over time. I think it can also support additional conversations that parents might be having with teachers over email, and certainly the one-on-one conversations that students and teachers are having in person on a regular basis. So I think it's been helpful in that way.
And Jen, you mentioned that students at your school get to decide if their parents have access to this. What's the breakdown? Do most students decide to let their parents be part of this, or do most of them say they'll handle it without their parents?
I mean, I think that for the most part, it's parents, you know, saying to their children, it is our expectation that you will share this with us. But the student is the one who has the password to access the information. And so they would need to communicate with their parent in order to make sure that parents have access. But for the most part, I mean, I think that there are some parents probably who aren't checking at all. And there are some kids and parents who are probably checking more often than we might like. One of the changes that we've made in our system is that our students cannot see a running average in their class. They can only see individual grade assignments. And part of the reason that we do that is to try and, you know, speak to the mental health concerns that might happen when students are checking so often that they're, you know, looking to see if their grade has changed 3/100ths of a point based on a 10-point quiz or something like that.
Well, Jen, talk to me more about that, how students at your school are really using this system, how you recommend they use it, and whether it's leading to stress for some students.
Yeah, I think, quite frankly, the lack of transparency was something that was stressful for many of them. And Anna spoke about this reality that many people, you know, 20 years ago might have been surprised by how they were doing. And by the time they realized that things were in trouble, it was sort of too late to get in there and really make any appreciable change. And so I think that this provides people with sort of, you know, more up-to-date information. We expect our teachers to keep it current within a 5-day period. And so I think that that part has been really helpful. You know, certainly we had a lot of intentional conversations around the mental health implications. We've all heard about students who will check their averages, you know, multiple times a day, or these apps that can ping a parent instantly, and then a parent is trying to reach their child in the middle of the school day. And we wanted to make sure it was in line with some of our other decisions, including being an away for the day cell phone school, so that we wanted to make sure that we weren't sort of feeding a beast that we were trying to counter in other spheres of school.
Interesting. Anna, what do you hear from parents and students? Can these apps and systems lead to stress for students?
Yeah, I think the downside of these apps is when they do become some sort of obsession, either on the part of the family or on the part of the student themselves. And I've heard of that, both of those things happening. One parent told me that while generally she appreciates the apps, they can sometimes feel a little bit like hustle culture, you know, sort of something that you're always checking. Even as a parent, like, she compared it to checking your work email after hours, like you're sort of always plugged into your child's school. And then for kids, there's a wonderful article by journalist Gail Cornwall at The Cut that talks about sort of the level of stress that kids can sometimes have. It's super interesting to hear, Jen, that your school doesn't use a running average, because I think that can be especially, it sounds like you've done a lot of thinking about this. I think that can be especially stressful for students as they're kind of like tracking, as you say, their grades going up and down in real time. And it can be this sort of negative game that kids play. So I think, like anything, especially, you know, anything that allows you to be really plugged into your phone 24/7, there can be these downsides that we need to watch out for.
Again, we're talking about grade tracking apps and systems, the benefits and the drawbacks. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. I want to talk a little bit more about the parents' perspective, because I have two daughters. They're both grown. They were in high school and all that pre-pandemic, but the school they attended did have one of these systems where we could see if assignments were in, what their grades were looking like. And it almost felt to me as a parent that there was this, like, am I not a good mom if I'm not checking these constantly to see if these assignments are in and nagging them if they're not? What do you hear from parents about stress, Jen? Is this something that parents get caught up in?
I think occasionally they do. It very much depends on the student. I think that more often I actually hear from students who, you know, this teacher hasn't, you know, updated this grade and as quickly as the child would like or something like that. But for the most part, I think our parents, they have an understanding that the teachers are also going to follow up with students when an assignment is missed or something like that. And it's pretty typical for our teachers, at least, to reach out directly to a parent, not just to use the gradebook as a means of communication with the family if there's a concern about a child. We also offer narrative comments to our parents multiple times during a school year. So there are many points at which parents expect to hear from us. And the grade app, if you will, is not really the thing that I think most of them are using as their primary means of feedback about their students' performance.
Anna, not every parent has easy access to the technology they need to monitor grades at different schools around the country, or the time that some parents devote to it. I wonder, at some schools, are there disparities that can be amplified by the use of technology like this?
Yeah, this is definitely a big concern that some experts have raised. We saw during 2020 and 2021 that many families don't have access to devices or to internet that at that time would have allowed them to access remote school, and today would allow them to access apps and open gradebooks like this. There can be language barriers. There can also just be barriers of tech savviness. I mean, you know, I myself, I'm a decently tech savvy parent, and I've had trouble using some of the systems that my children's schools have used. So, you know, there can be a number of ways that these apps sort of are most helpful, I think, to the most privileged of families. And there are also ways to control for that. You know, some apps, for example, offer translations so that educators can actually send send a message in English and the app will translate it into the student's home language. So that can be really helpful and exciting. I think it's a matter of, you know, schools and districts being mindful of what kinds of barriers these technologies might be setting up.
Jen, have you had any of that come up with any of your families in terms of kind of overcoming barriers so they can use these systems successfully?
I think, you know, because we are a private institution, our demographic might be a little bit different. And certainly the issues that Anna is raising are very relevant. I think for our families, there are certainly families who are just not as tech savvy. I don't know that it's often about access, however. And so we do take time at the beginning of each school year to instruct our parents about how they can best access these this information if they would like to. And we'll offer support one-on-one if that's something that they need.
Okay, well, we will continue our conversation after a short break, and later in the program, we'll hear about how killer yeast could help craft brewers solve a sticky problem. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation about grade tracking apps and systems, the benefits and the drawbacks. My guests are Vox senior correspondent Anna North and Cincinnati Country Day School head of upper school Jen Weinheimer. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. We did get an email from Beth. Beth writes, as a college educator for over 35 years now, I'm seeing increasing emphasis on grades, which are only one measure of student success. We've had 4.0 students who don't get into medical school, for example, because they're too tightly wound and too focused on grades at the expense of expanding themselves to be a more complete package to a medical or other post-graduation program. I have college students who break into tears because of a single grade in a course. I hear it from parents of prospective students as well. The immediacy of today's culture should not be fostered like this. In addition, many of us learned valuable lessons after not doing assignments and so forth. The commentators on the program are correct. These tools can be a blessing or a curse. Jen, you're in the trenches with students as head of upper school at Cincinnati Country Day School. What do you think about that? That, you know, part of learning is messing up and forgetting to turn in an assignment and learning a lesson from that, or maybe, you know, this focus on grades can be confining for some students. What do you think about that?
Yeah, there's no doubt. I think that we're constantly battling, you know, our society's kind of focus on grades as this be all and end all. And I think that the A through F grading system is flawed. That's probably a conversation for another day. We aim to try and round that out by having the narrative comments that I spoke about earlier, and to try and talk about you know, the transparency, what we're really trying to do is foster relationship and conversation and teach kids to advocate for themselves. We're well aware that when they reach colleges and universities after Country Day, that students are going to have access to their grades online. And we're trying to teach them healthy ways to interact with the with this capability so that hopefully they're not the kid who's, you know, checking multiple times a day to see if there are updates. But yeah, I think it's... you know, the resiliency skills that students need to build, it's just as important. I think the graduated independence that we try and foster here and that many schools try to foster is really important in teaching kids that this is just one piece of the puzzle and it's information that they can use to advocate for themselves. I want to be clear that when I say advocate for themselves, I'm not talking about trying to ask the teacher to change the grade, but simply to know where they stand. I think that when we tell students that we want them to initiate conversations with their teachers, that we don't want to encourage parents to be the first people to initiate a conversation with a teacher, that we also then need to give children the information in order to be able to start those conversations and enter into them in an informed way. And that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah. What do you think, Anna?
Yeah, I think Beth's point is really well taken. I think it made me think to a message that I got after my story on grade tracking apps ran on Vox, which was from a parent who had mixed feelings about the apps, but said the biggest help for their family was around their children's executive functioning issues. And specifically, the children had trouble getting their assignments in on time. They were bright, they could do the assignments, they would forget to turn them in. And so the apps are really helpful in terms of just like, did this actually make it to the teacher? Which is a different question than what grade is my child getting or than what grade am I getting, right? The question is like, is the teacher able to see my learning? Like, are we all on the same page? Is my learning progressing? I think these are, you know, really worthwhile questions that families and teachers can ask and that the apps can potentially help with if they're used in the right way.
Yeah. It seems like there's potentially a middle ground with these apps and systems so that, you know, parents and students can be in touch with teachers to catch problems early without constant surveillance. Is that the kind of middle ground you're trying to reach at Cincinnati Country Day, Jen?
For sure. I think that, you know, ideally we want students, as I said, to be the people who are having the conversations with their teachers. And I think de-emphasizing parents being the intermediaries in these conversations is really important. I think one of the things that we're trying to do is teach kids to be more independent. And we understand that parents are very invested. They want their children to be successful. They want their children to learn through this process. But I think it's also really important to understand that the parents can't be the ones doing it for them all the time. And so I think that the conversation around parents wanting access is a little bit more problematic for me than the notion of students wanting this information for themselves. It's the work that they've done and what they've invested in. I also just want to say, I really appreciate what Anna said about the executive functioning piece. I think that one of the biggest uses that we've seen where this has been most impactful in our school is when a student thinks that they've submitted something and then learns by looking online that actually the teacher never received something. And often it's, you know, it's still in the backpack or it's in the wrong file folder in their computer and the teacher can't see it because of where it is. And I think that that has been a real game changer for us and that they're able to see that when it's one day late instead of waiting until the end of a quarter and then finding out that, you know, a teacher didn't have an assignment that the student completed 3 weeks before.
Yeah. Anna, how secure are these platforms? Should schools, parents, students be concerned about data privacy or breaches?
This is a really big issue. And a security expert that I talked to mentioned that it can vary widely. And this is something that districts and families really need to be aware of. And families should be asking this question of their districts and their schools, you know, what have you done to make sure my data is secure? You know, almost less even for the grade tracking apps than for some apps that might have information around extracurricular activities or pickup times. That could even include location information for students. So obviously you really don't want that kind of information to fall into the wrong hands. So it's certainly something that educators, administrators, and families should be aware of.
Jen, was that something you all really thought about at Cincinnati Country Day before implementing your system?
To be honest, that I don't think that we did. perhaps because it's not an app, but I think that, you know, we could be vulnerable in the same way that any institution could if our entire computer system was hacked into, the way any school could, right, with transcripts becoming available or something like that. But because we're not using an app or a system that's different from that which supports our transcripts and report cards, the concern is valid, but I think it's no more pronounced because we've made this available to students in the way that we have.
We do have a caller on the line. Hi, Akiva. Thanks so much for your call. What's your question or comment?
Hi. I'm 30 now and back in school, and I've had grade tracking software like since, I think, middle school. And for me, the pressure never came from that. In fact, I didn't check it all the time, but I fell into those same pitfalls that you all were talking about, focusing on grades and being high wound in order to get into medical school. The pressure to do that really didn't come from the software. It came from, you know, this being one of the key ways to that I saw myself moving forward in my life. Mm. I see that the software really is kind of neutral. Right now, I have forgotten how to learn, and the software has actually helped me notice that before I've gotten my grades back in these college courses I'm taking.
Oh. So you're saying it's kind of how you use it and the attitude or kind of cultural surroundings that you bring to it.
Exactly. I really, whether or not I had that, I actually remember vividly dropping a class that I now regret, obviously, because I got a C minus on my first quiz because I was so intent on getting those high marks in college. And, you know, I didn't need grade tracking anything for that. It was grade tracking is definitely a way to do it, and you can always, in my from what I've seen, I could always have approached my teachers if I didn't have that. Yeah. Figure out what grade my professor had down for me at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the feedback and knowing, maybe not where you stand overall, but oh, that assignment that I thought I did really well, I completely botched and I didn't necessarily get it back, now that we're submitting things online and not getting the feedback directly back.
Yeah.
Review that.
Yeah. Well, those are great points, Akiva. Thank you so much. What do you think about that, Anna? The idea that this, you know, the technology is kind of neutral, but there are all these other factors swirling around that feed into the way students and parents approach it.
Yeah, I think that's really smart. And I think that, you know, like anything, you know, these apps, these systems can be tools. And when we look at them in the way they're used, we also need to be asking questions about just the role of grades in our wider society, from our classrooms to, you know, the way that they prepare or don't prepare us for careers. So these are bigger cultural questions, too.
Yeah. Thanks so much for that call, Akiva. We really appreciate it and hope your studies go well. Jen, what happens to this data long term at your school? Does it follow children throughout their education?
So the capability in our learning management system to see the grades doesn't really follow them, and it will reset when they're in new classes. But obviously, all of those grades transition, you know, into the grades that they receive on report cards and then ultimately on their transcripts and all of that sort of thing. So it's really just the transparency that they can actually see what has contributed to all of that in the way that, you know, how each assignment has been valued. But that's about it.
Yeah. What typically happens with the information, Anna? Do a lot of schools use this system to kind of hold on to this information for students long term?
I think it varies a lot. I think one concern that security experts have had is not even so much around the grades, but around apps and systems that track students' behavior or might track when they have a behavior episode or misbehave in some way. And that if those kinds of reports come to follow students throughout their school career, they could be used to make decisions around how students are disciplined, around the opportunities that students get. That could potentially be really negative for students down the line. So I think, you know, schools have always had transcripts, of course. I think the question is, like, if these apps are a repository for a lot of data that schools didn't used to collect, what happens to that data?
Mm-hmm. We've talked about this a little bit, but I just want to make sure we, you know, really hone in on it. Is there a risk, you think, Anna, of infantilizing students as they become young adults with these apps if they're not approached judiciously by students and their parents?
I think it's really complicated. I like what Jen said about sort of taking a student-first approach and asking students to advocate for themselves. You know, in my reporting, I always hear positive things about anything that grants young people more autonomy. I think if the apps become a way for people to sort of surveil them and for adults in their lives to surveil them, then I would worry about infantilizing them or about taking away some of that autonomy that's so important to grant.
Yeah, Jen, it sounds like that's what you all have been really focused on at your school.
Yeah, I think we're trying to, and I agree with what Anna said. I think that there's always the possibility that it could lead to that, but we're certainly trying to fight that tide by doing everything we can to try and educate both the students and the parents about why we're doing what we're doing. And I think we're open to changing what we're doing if we encounter new information that tells us that our students would be better off doing something else.
And Anna, just quickly, do you think guardrails are needed to protect student privacy in the form of legislation when it comes to all the information that's gathered on these apps and by some schools?
Definitely. So, you know, what experts have talked to me about is just updated federal youth privacy legislation in general, that those, you know, the current legislation is really not sufficient to protect kids. And that beyond that, that app developers just really need to be sharing with districts and with educators really detailed information about what data the apps collect and how it can be used, just so everyone is on the same page and there are no surprises in how this data shows up later on.
Well, I've been talking with Vox senior correspondent Anna North and Cincinnati Country Day School head of upper school Jen Weinheimer. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Thank you. So
up next, could killer yeast help solve a potentially explosive problem for craft brewers? That's coming up on Cincinnati Edition.